Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and I'm talking with our chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, former congressman of the 2nd Congressional District of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. Welcome, Steve. Thanks for joining me.
Oh, absolutely. Good to be with you. We have an exciting show today. In the second segment, you're going to hear Carla Sontag talk with us. She is the president and founder of the New Mexico Business Coalition, just a courageous, bold voice for business in the state. She's got opinions about this time during the lockdown. We'll look forward to talking with her, but in the meantime, Derek, you couldn't get any more newsworthy than this ongoing saga with General Flynn. You recall that the FBI set him up. They knew that he didn't do anything, and yet they agreed quietly they're going to go over and try to trap him in a lie. And now then it is becoming obvious. Joe Biden said he knew nothing about it. And then on George Stephanopoulos, evidently there was something where he said he did know about it. And President Obama has been eerily silent on the whole issue. And now then President Trump came out and said that former President Obama and former Vice President Biden should both be in jail over the issue, that it's the largest scandal in our nation's history. I lived through Watergate, and it was nothing like this. Watergate was really a cheap break-in to find out almost nothing. Here you have the state actually working against its citizens, and not just any citizen, but one of the most premier, a three-star general, had lived 36 years serving his country in the military, was headed to the position of national security advisor, and they attack him and try to entrap him, and still they couldn't get him to commit to anything. They only got him to plead guilty after they said they were going to go after his son, too. General Flynn had spent all of his resources. I think he had spent $6 million or so, had mortgaged his home, and was still not anywhere close to the end of his legal bills. And so he simply said, I give up. Since you're going to go after my son, that's the deal. I'll plead guilty if you won't go after my son. What democracy does this to its people? And that's the reason that the president is saying this is so dramatic. This is so outlandish. This is one of the biggest crimes in our nation's history, that you would have the top levels of government trying to undermine the next administration that has been duly elected. And you recall that the FBI, that I think it was Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, they were exchanging emails and saying that they would do anything to stop the president. They were in positions of high authority with the FBI, and they were in a position to do almost anything. And now then, as the truth comes out, it looks like they did almost anything. So the Patriot Act is what allows the government to conduct spying operations, and the Patriot Act was supposed to never be used against U.S. citizens. That was one of the great discussions between conservatives and liberals, that conservatives said, you can't abridge our freedoms, you can't go after us, and the liberals were always saying, okay, we're never go after Americans. If we do, it'll go through these FISA courts, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Action courts, and those judges will keep it from applying to U.S. citizens. If they are, it's only going to be tangential. They'll just be listening to both sides of a conversation where we're trying to get at those enemies of the U.S. And instead, that protection was denied because the FISA court was itself compromised. It was using as its justification this dossier that was put together by the Clinton campaign. They knew that it was paid for by the Clinton campaign. They knew that it was false. And still the FISA court was approving this spying that was going on Trump, and then was approving these actions against General Flynn. Now, if this can happen to General Flynn, it can happen to you and me, except there's never going to be anybody that can look closely enough to listen to our claims. As a congressman, I often would pursue things where the citizens were telling me the government is doing this to me, the government is doing that to me, and we would pursue those with the power of the U.S. Congress behind me. And many times we were able to get the government to back up and to take a different step, to not abridge the personal freedoms of individuals in our district. But the sadness was I would hear the same thing going on to individuals in other districts, and those congressmen or congresswomen would not be in a position, or just maybe didn't know enough to do anything about it. And so you find that there are very few freedom fighters throughout the country who are lining to fight for the freedoms of the individual. And so that's what makes this so frightening. What's going on with General Flynn is that you and I typically are going to have nowhere to go. The government is too big, too strong. That's what our founding fathers were afraid of when they created that Constitution and the Bill of Rights. You remember the Bill of Rights are the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, the freedom of speech, the freedom of religion, the freedom of the press, the right to bear arms, due process. Government can't take things away from you. So we've been studiously looking at lawsuits in the last 2 to 3 weeks, lawsuits that we can bring and win on constitutional grounds. In the last segment of the show, we're going to talk a little bit more about those suits. But finding the capital, finding the money to bring a constitutional-based lawsuit is very difficult. And then it's very difficult to prove. And so we've been trying to find a pathway forward. But the fact that we're having our religious liberties curtailed by the governor of New Mexico and the governors in other states are doing the same thing, the fact that we're having our equal access to the markets denied by this governor, the fact that we now had laws passed that are going to abridge on our rights to bear firearms, and on the fact that stores that sell firearms are being closed is an abridgment. A federal judge has decided that's an abridgment of our Second Amendment freedoms. So these constitutional questions are dramatically important, and they're playing out in this case on Michael Flynn. And so I would just urge our listeners to tune in and watch very closely. And I guess the last point, you know, this idea that President Obama would know, and people say, yeah, Watergate was the same thing. President Nixon, he went after this person or that person. But there's one big difference. President Nixon was going after a specific person, and he was illegally using the IRS to do that. President Obama knowingly used the IRS to target entire groups of people. You remember when the Tea Parties came up, they were using the IRS to stop the approval of the 501c3 request, the request that would make them tax-exempt organizations, would recognize them for purposes of meeting to raise some limited funds and to speak out, to have their voices heard. I think the most egregious case of this was a great-grandmother type. She was in her 80s in Albuquerque, a good friend of mine, and she had a little kindergarten program that she voluntarily started up with her own funds and had kept it going, and they were simply trying to teach the Constitution to kindergartners and talk about liberty and freedom. And the Obama administration even targeted her along with all those Tea Party types, saying that whatever she was doing was just too close to the edge, that they couldn't trust her to give her recognition to where she could continue to operating as a tax-exempt organization. And so that's what President Obama was doing, an entire group of people. That's way different than what President Nixon did, where he was targeting individuals who had somehow crossed him. I'm not defending President Nixon at all. He received tremendous, tremendous punishment, left office early in disgrace. And so President Obama is now being called into question for what President Trump is saying is a much greater crime. I think that you're going to see political consequences on both sides of the aisle. So stay tuned to it. I think it's going to be one that will direct the affairs of our country for the next 20 to 30 years. If it goes one way, our country will move at that direction. If President Trump prevails, then we're going to move pretty steadfastly back the other direction. But either direction that it chooses is going to be an outcome of the people and an outcome of that vote in November. Derek, thanks. A great beginning to the show. Again, we've got two fascinating segments. Carlos Sontag joining us next. And so stay tuned for Inside New Mexico.
Attention, New Mexico veterans. If you were honorably discharged from the U.S. Armed Forces, you've earned state and federal benefits, and the New Mexico Department of Veteran Services is standing by to assist you. State benefits include a veteran's property tax exemption, education and training, and transportation services. We can also assist with claims for federal VA benefits. The state of New Mexico and this radio station thank you for your service. More information at nmveterans.org or 1-866-433-8387.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico. I'm talking with Steve Pierce, and we have a guest on the phone, as promised.
Well, Derek, we're excited to have today's guest, Carla Sontag. She is the coordinator, I guess the executive director of the New Mexico Business Coalition. She joins us from Albuquerque today. Carla, thanks for being on the program, and tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into the business coalition business.
Well, 11 years ago, I was beyond frustration with where the state was going, so I actually created the business coalition. I'm the founder and president. We've been operating 11 years. We focus very heavily on policy that we believe is going to make the state more business friendly. I had been working in Santa Fe representing various business groups. I've never been a lobbyist for hire, but I have been up there advocating for business. So our boldness is very different. The other thing that's very different about us is we welcome individuals. We have business owners and individuals that are members of the business coalition because those individuals believe in promoting business and creating jobs in our state as well.
We're talking to the president and founder, Carla Sontag, today. But tell me a little bit about the viewpoint of the COVID-19 response of our current administration and what you all are doing and saying about that.
To begin with, you know, we appreciate the governor's initial response. It was very aggressive, and it worked very well. Our numbers are low, both in spread and the death rate in the state, and we appreciate that. But now, 2 months later, we're wondering, what is the path forward? A month ago, we asked her, what is your plan to reopen the economy? She shut it down overnight, literally, and there's never been a plan to reopen it. She says she has a plan now based on science. There's a lot of controversy over that science. So we did a survey recently, and it was voluntarily used by people. We promoted it through social media throughout the state. We've had about 1,100 people respond. Very short, anonymous survey. And by and large, the people are very, very unhappy with the response going forward. They're not happy with what's going on. We've got businesses that are closing permanently and more hanging on by their fingernails. And it's a scary proposition for this state. We're not a robust business state to begin with. We know we've lost over 200 restaurants recently.
What other businesses are you dealing with besides restaurants?
Well, our business portfolio just runs the gamut from little tiny manufacturers. We're the state representative for the National Association of Manufacturing. So we've got little bitty up to very large manufacturers, restaurants, and just everything in between. So we are feeling the pinch within our association because these people that represent New Mexico in their business is important to all of us. And it breaks my heart when I hear from them daily about the struggles that they're facing and that they may not be able to continue.
As we look at the budget of the state, do you have opinions on that? You watch it pretty closely.
Yeah, we do have very strong opinions about the budget. Last 2 years during the session, I was up there asking them please not to expand the budget to fit the surplus that they had at the time. Because if you've lived in New Mexico and watched oil and gas at all, you know that it's cyclical. And they were relying on those budget surpluses to come and continue forever. It doesn't work that way. And it doesn't matter the cause. There is going to be a retraction in oil and gas at some point. Now, oil and gas is in trouble because of external issues. They're closing down to some extent. And then we've got this COVID issue that has shut down other businesses. So all told, we know that we're going to be about $2 to $2.5 billion short in the next budget year, and they're going to have to fix that. Well, the talk from some is that they have two resolutions for that. One is to raise taxes yet again that they already did during the surplus, and the second is to raid the permanent fund. We are adamantly opposed to both of those being the solution. The solution is good government, good leadership, and not spending beyond your means, which is what they have done. So I'm glad that they had set aside a little bit of money. That's going to help to some extent. The feds are coming in to help a little bit. But honestly, New Mexico needs to get to work and get a budget that will work. And we've got to get our economy moving so that we can at least get some revenue moving again as well.
Are there other things, Carla, that we should be talking about with you today?
Well, we've got to get the budget in order, but we've also got to get our businesses performing again. There's a lot of problems with this stay-at-home suggestion that the governor has out, and she continues to extend it. I'm writing a paper right now that will explain a lot of our position. I'm really concerned about this ongoing issue. It's impacting New Mexicans' health and their well-being, their mental health as well. So we're going to continue very aggressively looking for answers. We provided a plan to the governor over a month ago, and she is implementing piecemeal a little bit of it. But what we would rather see is that she draft her own plan and not leave people hanging, wondering from one minute to the next how their life is going to be lived.
Now, you mentioned one more thing that I'd like to talk about before we go, and that was the fact that a lot of workers are on unemployment. Now, the national legislation that was passed and signed into law gives $15 an hour unemployment rates to unemployed workers, and then you add on top of that what the state pays. Some workers are making upwards of $50,000 on unemployment. And so when their employer calls them to come back to work, they're saying, wait, I'm making more here than what you can pay me. So I'm just going to stay on unemployment. Are you hearing that much at all? Or is that single industries?
No, that is absolutely the case. We are finding that there are a lot of employees, because they were given the option to get unemployment without the search for work, which is understandable when there is no work. But we've asked Workforce Solutions, when will you lift that and start requiring them to look for work as it coincides with the opening of the business environment again? Because we've got to get these people back to work and off of unemployment. And they don't have any plans to do that. So what they're saying is the employee can continue to get this unemployment for who knows how long. And that doesn't help employers. And we are having a lot of employers having difficulty getting workers to come back. Some have taken that PPP loan from the federal government, and the only way that they can satisfy those requirements is to get their people back to work. Well, if they don't want to come to work, and Workforce Solutions is giving them the option of saying they're afraid to come back to work because they might get the virus, so this is going to stretch it on forever. And then the people that took those loans from the federal government have a decision to make. They either need to very quickly send it back, or they've got to figure out a way to comply with it, which requires them to get their workers back. So some employers have been put in a catch-22 with that new money. And by the way, regarding the federal government, we have signed a letter to Congress asking that they not bail out the states that are not financially prudent in how they run their state. And I know that's a little hardcore for New Mexico, but somebody needs to stand up and say, we need to act like adults here, and we need to get a real budget. So we've signed that letter that'll go to Congress, because we don't think our state should be bailed out on that end.
I agree with you 100%, and again, appreciate your courage in signing on to that letter. Folks, we've been visiting today with Carla Sontag. She's the president and founder of the New Mexico Business Coalition. Carla, we look forward to talking to you again. Thanks, and God bless you.
Thank you, sir, and God bless you as well.
Steve Pearson and I have more to talk about, and that's coming up next on Inside New Mexico.
On behalf of the New Mexico Department of Health, take COVID-19 precautions. Wash your hands frequently for 20 seconds. Don't touch your face. Use a tissue or your elbow to catch your sneeze or cough. Avoid large gatherings and close contact with sick people, especially if you are elderly or high risk. If you have a cough, fever, or shortness of breath, stay home from work or school. Do not go to the ER or doctor's office without first calling the coronavirus hotline. And avoid all unnecessary out-of-state travel. Help prevent the spread of COVID-19.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico, and we continue our conversation with our chairman of the Republican Party, Steve Pearce. And on a sad note, there's a situation in Missouri. Tell us about that.
Well, I'll tell you, it's just so sad, and it breaks your heart. But when we have national policies which discount the value of life, and that's basically what abortion does, if you listen to some of the most progressive, some of the most liberal on the left, they're actually pushing now that abortion should be legal for the first year after a baby is born. That's not abortion. That's called murder. And that's what they're wanting to make legal, that you can have buyer's remorse after the baby is born and simply do away with it, and all would be okay under the law. It would not be okay under God's law. But the government's saying it'd be okay under our law. Well, when you do that, people really do pay attention to it, and they begin to transition in their own minds that, this is okay. And so that line gets blurred on life and the value of life. And so in Missouri this week, May the 5th, they had a young woman, 28 years old, go into the restroom at the place she worked. She had a baby sitting on the toilet. In other words, she knew she was pregnant, hadn't told anyone, had the baby, stood up to see it was floating face down and moving, trying to get air. She sat back down and sat there for another 30 minutes without checking on the baby. Finally, a nurse came in to check and see what's going on, and the baby was drowned, had all the signs of drowning, and they did the autopsy, arrested the woman for killing her newborn. It speaks to the human tragedy when policies become murky and when the rationale becomes pretty muted. And definitely that's what's happening with the life issue in America and across the many different states.
And we saw that here in New Mexico when our legislators thankfully voted against the same-day abortion bill, same day as birth.
Yeah, thank goodness for those conservative Democrats who joined with Republicans in the state Senate and voted that bill down. It would have been one of the most egregious laws in the entire nation. So again, thankfully, people of principle stood up.
That brings us to what else is going on here in New Mexico with this lockdown the governor has put us under. And I understand that she has allowed businesses to open at 25%, but still not hair salons, gyms, and barbers. So you know, you owned a business. Many of our listeners own businesses, and I own a business. And so when the government puts up a roadblock in front of you, you find another legal way to get around it, to get done what you need to get done. In this case, I needed a haircut. It's been 8 weeks, and I just didn't like having long hair. I know this seems silly to some people, but many folks know we produce this program in Rio Rancho, New Mexico. Highway 550 comes right into Bernalillo, Rio Rancho. I live near there. And so I hopped in my car Saturday. I had made an appointment ahead of time with a barber in Durango, Colorado, and went up there and got a haircut. And I want to tell about the experience because I think there's no reason we can't do this in New Mexico. I don't know why we're not. When I went to the door to go into the barbershop, there was a sign on the door and it said, "You must wear a mask if you want a haircut. You must make an appointment," which I did. When I came in at the front counter, they had the solution to wash your hands, and the barber cleaned the chair, sprayed it, sprayed his scissors and his combs and all that, and then I got a haircut. I had to drive 200 miles to do it, and the barber, a young guy, has got kids, just real enthusiastic about being a barber, and he had gone to barber school, I guess, down in Bloomfield, New Mexico, and his barber friends down there are going broke, so he has suggested that they also come up to Durango. One of them is already licensed in Colorado, the other one's not, but he may get a license. And isn't it sad that we have to do that? We have to go out of our state to be able to survive, to make enough money to feed our families.
Well, when the governor announced the 25% threshold for small businesses, once again, we said it's too late and it's not enough. Too little, too late. And that's true. So the big box stores can have hundreds of people at a time in there, and you can have 25% of your normal customer load in a small business. Now, many small businesses, they're very small. They might have 10 customers at a time in their store, so they're going to be restricted to two. I guess you can have 2.5 people in if it's 25% of 10. I'm not sure exactly how you get a half person in the door or not, but that's the ridiculous thing that is being pawned off on New Mexico businesses. Small businesses, you're not going to be able to survive on 25%. It's just a number that got picked out of thin air. I will just tell you that. She kept the churches limited to 10%, and then evidently the pressure was too great. And by the end of the week, she said, well, I guess we'll go to 25% at our churches. So what the Republican Party of New Mexico is doing is that we have been talking with small business owners, trying to find the right ones. We've been talking to lawyers. And we're going to bring suit against the governor, against the government of New Mexico for its treatment of New Mexico businesses. We have talked frequently about the lady in Grants who was fined $60,000 for being open. She declared her business essential. It seems like the governor, instead of fining her $60,000, could have sent someone there from the governor's office to go and maybe talk to her and find out why she felt like she was essential. But to have an open conversation, don't just send a threat and then later send a $60,000 fine. That's going to break the back of that small business. They're not going to open again. As you heard Carla Sontag talk about in the last segment, there are over 200 restaurants who will never open again. And so it is having a very punitive effect in our communities and across the state. And so we're going to file this suit on behalf of the businesses saying that the governor has really no right to keep us closed up. So, Derek, we have tremendous, tremendous problems facing us down the road if we don't get businesses open as soon as possible. And the idea that we're going to let them operate at 25%, you just can't even pay the light bill at 25%. You can't pay the heating bill. You can't pay your insurance. Forget paying the employees. That's not even nearly possible at 25%.
Are you aware of anything in the United States Constitution that gives the governor the power to violate it, even in an emergency?
No, there's nothing at all. And in fact, in Wisconsin, you saw a judge last week say exactly that, that the stay-at-home orders cannot be enforced legally, that it is not constitutional. You saw another judge say up in the northeast part of the United States that the closing of gun stores was not constitutional, that it was limiting people's constitutional rights to buy firearms. So they said you cannot shut the gun stores down because it's a Second Amendment case. And so we're finding judges across the country starting to say that some of these orders are violating the Constitution, but it is awfully late coming, and you can't take all 50 states into court right at once. We're looking at how we can take this case into New Mexico courts. We'll be a little bit longer, but we're on the track to do it. RPNM is going to speak up for the men and women who are being forgotten by this administration.
Thank you, Steve. And if you're listening and would like to help the Republican Party, get involved. Go to www.gopnm.org. You can get the latest news, upcoming events, information about elected officials, voter resources, and all kinds of important and useful information about the Republican Party and its mission. You can also listen to previous editions of this program. There's also a Facebook page. Check out what's going on the party's Twitter account. The handle is @NewMexicoGOP. And we want to remind our listeners that the Republican Party is always looking for volunteers to help them with their mission to win New Mexico for President Trump and turn the roundhouse red. You can call the Republican Party headquarters at 505-298-3662. That's 505-298-3662. For Steve Pierce, I'm Derek Underhill. We look forward to meeting with you again right here next week on Inside New Mexico.